easy as it is to breathe, God, that we can come to you. So right now, God, we just pray. Pray that we are desperate for you. We pray that we are hungry to learn about your word. And it's in your name that we pray, God, that you will open our hearts, our minds, and our spirits to hear what you have to teach us today. It's in your name that we pray. Amen. Well, today we continue with our playbook for Christian living. And we today will be looking about living in his love. Living in the love of God our Father. Living in the love of Jesus Christ. Living in what is really almost counterculture to most of the world today. In love, in concern, in embracing the value of others. Many of you know what has transpired in Paris this weekend. Acts of violence, birthed out of hatred, birthed out of the complete opposite of what we want to talk about today. Whereas God our Father, Yahweh, the Father of Jesus Christ, our spiritual Father, is a God of love. And today we're going to talk about living in his love. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to John chapter 13. John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. This is the time when Jesus is at the Last Supper. He has spent 3 years walking and talking and teaching and leading. Sometimes it seems with success, other times with frustration. But here he is, his last good night here on earth with his disciples. And he has this special moment where he sets aside his robe and he bows at their feet, washes their feet, and serves them. And with this example given, he leaves this command, verse 34. A new command I give you, this is Jesus speaking. Love one another as I have loved you, so that you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. This is the same Jesus who John wrote at the beginning of this epistle, saying he was the Word, and the Word was God. And the Word created everything that we know. That same Jesus bowed at their feet and washed their feet and served them and said, do as I have done. Love one another. Well, love is a lot of things. Love is the love of your favorite movie. You just love it, right? For my mom and for a lot of you ladies, I know this is like your favorite time of year on the Hallmark Channel. You've got the Christmas marathon, right? You love these movies. Just cry. Just get a big box of Kleenexes, some M&Ms, set the DVR, and just cry-a-thon, right? Just love it. I'm like 20 minutes into it, I'm done. I've already figured it out. It's all the same. But we love that, right? All right, so pick on myself. So December 17th, just a few days away. I could tell you how many days, but I'm not going to geek out that much. How many hours and minutes. But December 17th at 10:15, I have an appointment, God willing, that I will be at the movie theater because I love Star Wars. I know it's a shock for most of you. I am super excited. So there's these things in our life that we love. I love ice cream. I love my wife. I love my kids. I love a lot of things. And we all do that, don't we? We love everything. Oh, I love that. But what we want to look at today is a special kind of love that Jesus is telling his disciples to have. And there are six characteristics of these loves that I want us to review today. Number one, love is spiritual. The love that Jesus is talking about is a spiritual love. 1 John 4:7, which, by the way, if you want to turn to 1 John chapter 4, we're going to just kind of camp on about five verses that I think unpacks what love is all about. 1 John chapter 4, beginning of verse 7, we see that love is spiritual. Dear friends, John writes, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Let me say that again. Love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Now, if you're like me and you have lots of friends on Facebook, and people post all kinds of things. And this week I came across an article that somebody that I know posted. This particular person is not a believer, and they were celebrating a study done at the University of Chicago that claiming that people who are non-believers are more caring than people who are of faith. Now, they based this on a study of a few hundred elementary kids and how well they shared stickers. What they found was that people, children who did not express any particular faith or come from a family of faith, shared the stickers more often than those of families of faith. So it was a triumphant for them, lots of comments about how, you know, just proves that we're all hypocrites because apparently we don't share stickers. But what I found interesting, and I thought of this verse right here, that love comes from God. And when I typed something, this big long response, and then I deleted it because I was like, I'm not going to get into that on Facebook. Because the Bible tells us don't throw pearls before swine. Because people won't believe no matter what. But what I read into that was this. You see, back in Genesis, God said, let us make man in our image. And if God is the author and creator of love, and we are in his image, guess what? We will love. Now, whether we profess our faith in him or not does not matter. It does no difference between the Muslim or the atheist or the Christian as far as being in the image of God. God created everyone in his image. And there are certain characteristics. We are all creative. We are all creative in some way. We are all reflective of him and his love. We are reflective of him in so many different ways. Love that he is speaking about here in 1 John is a spiritual love. It is authored and creator and sustained and comes from God himself. So it is a pure love. It is not the love of your favorite show or your favorite ice cream. It's a pure, godly love. And everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Second thing, love is revealing. Love is revealing. It reveals a lot about us. 1 John 4:8 says this, whoever does not love does not know God because God is love. If you have those in your life who claim Christ, who claim being a believer but do not love, it is revealing that they are not. John is telling us, if you're going to put on the name of Christian, act like it. Be it. Do it. Don't be the people who come, leave church, either you've got your suit on or you got your Sunday t-shirt, right? Hey, bud, be wiser. Nobody knows those shirts. That's an 80s thing, I guess. God, you know, fixed the world with two sticks and some three nails. You know, those t-shirts. We wear them and we go out to eat. And our waiters and waitresses help us and they work hard and they bring us the food. And they brought us French instead of ranch and we get all upset. And then instead of leaving a tip, we leave a track. Or you write on the note, John 3:16, see you at church next Sunday. Guys, that is not showing love. Love is revealing. What comes out of you is what's in you. We're sponges. And when we're squeezed in life, love should come out. It's revealing of who we really are. It's in times like tsunamis. It's in times like horrible things that happened in Paris this weekend. It's in times when natural disasters happen and when Samaritan's Purse and other religious organizations are there before the governments are. It's revealing of who we are. Maybe we don't share our stickers, but we will share food and blankets and water. And more importantly, we share the life-changing message of Jesus Christ with them. And we save them more than just from the elements. We save them from their damnation by giving them hope in Jesus Christ. The love that he's talking about here is a love that is revealing. And it's also, the third thing, a love that requires action. Verse 9, this is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. Now, I think this is a really amazing thing. This is how God showed his love. This is God. He never had to show us anything, did he? He could have easily just created the universe and declared, I am God, love me, worship me, end of story. And he could justly do that. But we have a loving, compassionate, caring, engaged Father. And he showed us his love by sending his Son that we may live through him. I think that's an awesome story. And it's a story that gets lost too often. In the great debates of theology around the world today, let's not get lost in what we're talking about. We have a God who loves us. And he showed it. Most religions of the world is all about what we can show to their God. How repentant. How dedicated. How sacrificial we can be so that we may hopefully gain the knowledge and the onlook of their God. But we have a God who loves us, who cares for us, is seeking us, is pursuing us, and would go so far as to send his Son to provide the way. Of all else that can be said about Christianity, let us not lose fact that we serve a God who acted on his love. And the fourth thing that we find here is that love is unconditional. Verse 10, this is love. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Elsewhere we read in the Bible where it tells us he loved us even while we were in rebellion against him. Even when we were, in all accounts, unlovable. When no one else would give us the time of day, when no one else would care about us, God did. Because he loves us unconditionally. Yes, once we are in him, once we have accepted him, once we are in relationship with him, he changes us for the better. He doesn't leave us where we're at. Too many times I've heard people talk about, oh, Jesus was a tolerant God. He came and he accepted people where they were at. He accepted the drunkards and he accepted the harlots and the prostitutes and he accepted the sinners. We should be doing the same. And I say, amen, yes, that's true, but finish the story. When those people who came to him that were drunkards and drug users and harlots and runarounds and they were hypocrites, when they were liars and cheaters and killers and murderers, and they came to him, when they were sinners, they left as saints. They didn't stay the same. His love is unconditional. I will accept you, but once you accept me, you will change. That's the kind of love that we're talking about. The fifth thing is that love is relational. Verse 11, dear friends, since God so loved us, we just talked about that, how he loved us unconditionally and completely and wholly and spiritually and purely and sacrificially. Since God loved us that way, we ought to tolerate and put up with each other. No. What's it say? We should therefore love one another. Here's the thing. That word love is the same word that says that God loved us. You can search it out. I don't care if you look at Greek, Hebrew, Italian, French, German, Russian, hillbilly. It doesn't matter. As God loved us, we're supposed to love others. Is that easy? No. Wake up your teenager at 6 in the morning, getting them ready for school. Is it easy to love them? It is in love that I'm waking you up and sending you off. It is difficult, but in the same love that is sacrificial and pure and holy and complete and unconditional, we are to love one another because it is relational. You've often heard it said that Christianity is not a religion, it's a relationship. And we have a father who is not interested in a religion. It doesn't matter what the building is. You see, that's the amazing thing. He had a building. He had a building. It was a temple built in Jerusalem. And some people consider it one of the wonders of the world. Nations would come, kings and ambassadors would come from around the world to see Solomon's temple and all of its grandeur and all of its glory. And that was God's dwelling place. That was his home here on earth. And he knocked it down and said in 3 days. In AD 70, the Romans came in. Not one stone was left on top of each other. It was burnt down, destroyed. And God moved into a new home. Now think about it. If God had that kind of home, better than anything you'd ever see on MTV Cribs, or Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous. I'm going way back on that one. It doesn't matter what imagination you could come up with. As grand as you may think, none of that would have been sufficient for God. Instead, he chose another home. And look around to your left and your right, because that's where it is. Because he's relational. Because God didn't want to be a place, he wanted to be a person. And he wants that person inside of us. Dear friends, as God loved us, he's related to us, he is connected to us, so we should relate and connect to one another. Because the sixth thing that I want us to see is that love is evidence of God. Verse 12, no one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love has made complete in us. No one has ever seen God. That is one of those debate questions that maybe you've heard before. Maybe you've tried to share the gospel with somebody, and their retort was, well, no one's ever seen God. Well, let me give you some ammunition right here. Write it down, 1 John 4:12. I agree, I would tell them, no one has. But if we love one another, if we truly express the sacrificial, loving, relational love, God lives in us, and he's made complete in us, we have demonstrated God. Guys, I'm going to tell you right now, I don't care how many studies they do, how many stickers they try to share. Love is not of this world. It is supernatural in its origin. It is supernatural in its characteristics. And if we truly want to be a church that changes our community, our country, our world, we need to be a church about love. In the last few weeks, we've been studying Genesis. Depending on where you're at in that Discovering God series, we've been kind of camping still on the flood. It's been kind of hard to get out of chapter 8. I don't know if it's just because they wrote so many verses that week that we're going to kind of stay there for a while. But there's so much there. Because you think, how? How in this, what seems to be tragedy, catastrophe, unfair judgment, could there be love? But yet we have explored and discovered that even in God's wrath, he provided a way out. Even through judgment, he provided for a future. Because he is faithful and just, and he is true to his word. I don't know what you're going through in your life right now. Maybe you feel unloved. Maybe you don't feel like loving other people. But let me challenge you with this. John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave his son, so that we who were once rebellious and against God, at war with him, who were destined and justly so to a world of damnation and persecution, instead, if we will believe in his son, Jesus Christ, and his sacrifice, and his payment for our sins, we get to share in a relationship with him forever. For most of you in this room, you've made a decision in your life that has already happened. You've accepted that love, and you've accepted his life as the repayment for your sin. But for some of you, it hasn't happened. So I want to challenge you right now. For those of you who have never accepted Jesus Christ, let me tell you a couple of verses. Number one, all have sinned. Paul writes in Romans. All have sinned. Every person in this room has fallen short of the glory of God. In the original language, it means we missed the mark. We were shooting for the bullseye. We didn't even hit the target. Paul also writes in Romans, he says, because of that, the penalty of that is death, and not just physical death, but eternal spiritual death. But, and I love because God always has that comma, but, the free gift of God, the free gift, we don't have to do anything for it, is grace. Through his son, Jesus Christ. It's life everlasting. Instead of death, we have life. Instead of punishment, we have paradise. All we have to do, Paul writes in Romans chapter 10, is believe in our heart, confess with our mouth. We will be saved. Verse 13, for everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. You say, Jason, I don't think I can do it. You don't know my life. You don't know what I've done. You're right. But we just read that God loved us even then. Wherever you're at in your life, God loves you now. Unconditionally, come to him. And when you do, he will change you. I want to bow our heads, and I want to give anyone an opportunity today that never has prayed that prayer to pray that. If you've never prayed the kind of prayer where you accepted Jesus, I want to invite you to pray either silently or out loud after I pray and say something like this. Heavenly Father, I confess that I'm a sinner. I believe your son Jesus died on the cross to pay for my sins, that he was buried but came back to life 3 days later. And I accept his forgiveness, your grace, and your mercy. And from this day forward, I belong to you. It's in the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Guys, this week we have plenty of opportunity to go out and show love. It starts with your home. I know. Look at your spouse. You got to love them. Look at your kids. You got to love them. Look in the mirror. You got to love that person too. Start there. The greatest commandment that God ever had was love God first and love others as you love yourself. And you guys like yourself a pretty lot, right? If you're like me. Go this week. Be blessed and love. We'll see you next week.
Healing rain is coming down, is coming down.